Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, April the 23rd, 2016. It is Season 10, Episode number 17. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
And I'm Nathan.
And welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. That's 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can also find us over on Facebook as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch, so you can listen to us while you watch us live at twitch.tv. Go up to the search bar, type in-game chat, and you'll be able to find us. You can watch us. You can also join in the chat room with everybody who's hanging out in there, including us. We are in there as well. And just
come say hey.
Talk away while we broadcast, which is completely fine. Completely different conversations go on in that chat room than what we're talking about, and sometimes conversations go on in that chat room that directs our conversation, so why not? Welcome to the show, everybody. So, we got a lot to talk about today, because we're going to go over all the games we played. Of course, we'll talk about that. We got two loot crate boxes to go through. I've got a loot crates for anime that they sent me, which we'll see what's in there. I think RJ would probably be, if we had an anime guy of any kind, it would probably be you.
Mm-hmm.
So might let you unbox that one.
Okay.
And then a regular loot crate that they sent us that I have no idea what's inside. I have not opened these. In fact, just a few minutes before showtime, I borrowed a knife from Matt and broke the seal. So that we could open them up easier on the air. But
so they should have that new loot smell?
No idea what's in them. I always love to go in blind on these things. Also, I got the pinball tables for Alien vs. Pinball.
When are you going to be streaming those?
Either tomorrow or probably on Monday. Well, tomorrow, like, PAX is still going on. PAX is still going on. And so I might do it on Monday.
You should do a private stream tomorrow.
I don't know. It's pinball. I'm probably going to play it regardless, and if I do play it, I'll stream it. But we'll see.
Yeah, because I want to see those.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I do them tomorrow. I may not. I don't know. I may set it up for Monday. So yeah, that came in. A buddy of mine got his Vive, and I expect him to call in at some point to talk to us about that and how he's enjoying it. We have an interview at the top of the second hour with Spearhead Games about Stories, The Path of Destinies, which is a game that I've been playing and we'll talk about. So there's a lot just going on outside of just going over the regular news and stuff, because PAX East is going on this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's going on right now. We've already got the confirmation that Borderlands 3 would be happening, and
yay,
that came out of PAX East. It's not like you didn't know that was going to coming. And this was something that at PAX South last year, not this year, last year, I went to their Gearbox panel, and he said, you know, we don't know if we're going to make a Borderlands. That's your decision. Mm-hmm. We need to, you know, we're looking for artists, we're looking for coders, we're looking for this, so please send us your resume, and we may do a Borderlands. He knew exactly what he was doing.
It's kind of awkward at the moment, to me.
What?
people thought they were going to announce Borderlands, and he's like, hey, and we're looking for people.
Right. We might do a Borderlands 3, but it's up to you guys. There was no might about it. You knew you were going to be doing it. It's your, that is, you're going to milk that thing. You're milking it with,
Tails?
No, not Overwatch. What's the other one? Battleborn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're milking it with Battleborn, at least the art style, and a lot of it is very Borderlands-esque.
What they were really doing is looking for free interns.
Yeah. Welcome aboard, Nate. So just a lot going on. So let's go ahead and start the round table of what's been going on. RJ was not here with us last weekend, so let's start with him and see what's been going on.
That's been nothing but Dark Souls 3.
Oh, you know, that's what it was, because I mentioned this last week.
Mm-hmm.
I said it'll be great when RJ comes back, because he'll have tons to say about Dark Souls 3. Mm-hmm. I say tons. He'll have a sentence or two to say about Dark Souls 3. What is... tell us about it.
Well, it's...
Because you streamed some of it, too.
Yeah, I streamed a little bit of it.
You got to watch some of that.
Yeah, it's the same feeling as Dark Souls 2, just a little more streamlined in terms of ease of getting things now. So it's a little bit easier in some things. Like right off the bat, you can start selling items and getting souls back. Easier way to get souls that way that you had to work for in the mm-hmm. previous entries like that. Aesthetically, the game is looks a lot prettier than Bloodborne. Bloodborne had that really dark gothic feel to it, and Dark Souls has all these beautiful scenic areas. There's a lot of very pretty areas to go through in this game. Really, really, really appealing to go through, you know. And the difficulty is, maybe it's just the experience talking that I've had with Demon's Souls, Dark Souls 2, and Bloodborne, but it feels a little easier to get through. I think the most difficulty I've had with any boss in the game so far is what I streamed that first night with Gunder, Eidex Gunder at the front. I had to face him like 4 or 5 times on the stream, but I haven't had that much difficulty with any of the bosses through that. And like I said, I don't know if that's experience or the game has been toned down a little. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. I want to chalk it up to experience.
Maybe that's the case, but you know, lately we've had
I got faith in you.
Lately we've had a period of people like try to make it as more appealing, so try to get as more people in there, so they may have tapered down the difficulty for it. I can see it happening. It may not have happened here, but I'm not sure. Maybe someone in the chat room or some other reviews online can say something about that. it's still get the same thing with people invading your realm, invading others if you want to. I never went that route. I've always helped people and put messages out for people, try to help them out as much as I can, and I've done that all the time. And there's a lot of incentive to invade people because there's a whole lot of factions in this game. I think there's more factions in this than any other Dark Souls I've seen. It's like 7 or 8 factions you can go to, and there's benefits for joining all of them. And you can change it by the drop of a hat. You know, you just have the icon with, and you can switch your allegiance.
Could you not
switch? You want.
Could you not do that in the previous games?
You probably have to go through. I think it was like a penalty for switching.
Really?
Covenants. I believe it was. I'm not sure. But I believe there was a penalty for switching covenants. I don't think there is one here, though.
It's interesting that they dropped that, you know, if that was the case, that they decided, yeah, let's make it eat. I don't know. This seems like a game where it's like, okay, we're just going to increase the difficulty. Mm-hmm. We're not going to change anything else other than, you know, it's going to look better and maybe tighten up the controls a bit or whatever the case, but still not do anything that would make something easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Have you played more MLB The Show or anything else?
No, it's been, like I said, it's been strictly Dark Souls for the most part. Still finding out new things here and there. But there have been some cases where I don't know if the developers were running out of ideas or whatnot, but they've brought a lot of folks from Dark Souls 1 into this one. Like Andre of Astora, Andre of Astora, the blacksmith from 1. Yeah. Dark Souls 1 is back in the Firelink Shrine. He's smithing away in the back, and you find him as soon as you reach the Firelink Shrine. He's there. The maiden in black, the Firelink Fire Shrine maiden, looks like the maiden in black from Demon's Souls. You know, they started pulling ideas from other games in there, and mixing things together like that. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but it's pretty noticeable if you've played the entire series
before.
That way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm liking the new features of weapons. They have give you weapon skills with the new FP bar. Still haven't figured out what FP stands for. Like HP, I know is hit points. SP, I would think would be skill points or something like that, but it's called FP. I don't know what the F is for, but it's
fight points?
Maybe it is or something like that.
Points?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's something that gives you boosts to your weapons and lets you pulls out these little skills. Some of the things are broken. For instance, if you use a dagger, you have this move where you can skip forward, like dash forward,
mm-hmm.
and it allows you to get through things like poison areas a lot quicker. You don't get as poisoned as much. Or there are things that people have found out, like little shortcuts to get through to get like more boosting materials for their weapons. When I think about 2 hours of play, if you do a certain shortcut, you can get like enough building material to get yourself a +9 weapon before you can go through the rest of the game. It's supposed to be, it's basically an area you can get to that you're not supposed to get to yet, and you can get there through a little glitch. Kind of a glitch. Yeah, some glitches they use to get through that.
Online it's saying it's focus points.
Focus points. Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you. Focus points. But yeah.
Yeah.
But then they'll let you use them. Something I noticed, that they'll let you use them even if you're out of it. You have no focus points available, but you can still do the skill. Maybe it just won't hurt as much, maybe won't hit as much or something like that. But if it's a motion type skill, like I said with the dagger, quick dashing, you know, run out of focus points, fine. I can still dash through the entire thing using that dagger, which has got me out of a lot of tight spots, to be honest with you. I've been able to use that to my advantage a lot lately. But overall, I'm having a very good time with it, and I'm still not finished yet.
Yeah, of course.
This is just my first playthrough, and I'll be playing it again and again.
Do you have a percentage of how far into it you are?
No idea about percentage, but I'm in the Irithyll of the Boreal Valley. A bunch of fire witches and snow and almost like Christmas. Got northern lights and everything going on in there. But I think I got about maybe 3 or 4 areas to look into before getting to the end battle and starting over again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, what have you been playing?
I streamed a little bit of Dark Forces Sunday. I remembered it's been a long time since I played that, and I remember the third level, why I did not like it. It's just the layout is really, you know, it's very puzzle heavy in a way, and you're going through like some sewers, and Dianogas when they bite you, it didn't affect your shields, it just goes straight to hell. So I died quite a bit, but it was fun being able to play that game again. Other than that,
More Division, I guess.
A little bit of Division with Dennis. I beat Super Metroid.
Okay.
And started back up on Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh, nice.
So
I have that and haven't played it.
I've forgotten how much fun that is.
I have it on now. I have it on PS3.
Yeah.
And I have it on PC.
Same here.
Yeah. So, Nate.
Nothing. No, I'm kidding.
Possibly. There's been days like that for me.
Yeah, Scott's done it plenty of times.
Yeah, definitely. Division, played a little bit of that with my friend the other night. Just kind of working on my gear score on that one. Missing Overwatch. I had so much fun playing with that.
You're missing Overwatch. Okay, yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's missing for my GameCube.
I know, but there's plenty of games called Missing.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Missing and Overwatch, you know.
Yeah,
you know.
Gotcha. No. Just the I'm sort of interested in the Humble Bundle.
The Tom Clancy?
Devolver Humble Bundle? Yeah, I know.
I
posted about there out there somewhere about it because I was I'm going to jump on that just because it's got Titan Souls and it's got Not a Hero, which is also a really great title.
Yeah.
It gives you 50% off of Talos. Which isn't
bad. I've heard Fistful of Gun is fun too.
Yeah, I wish it had Enter the Gungeon because I really want that.
Yeah,
that's another one out from Devolver, which is really, really good.
And more games as well.
Yeah,
that's not the fullest, but yeah, I'm sort of interested in that. And then just been saving.
Ronin's not bad either.
Mm. Yeah, and then just been saving up coins for the Hearthstone Whispers of the Old Gods that comes out Tuesday.
GT South did a Hearthstone tournament last
night.
They did. Yes, they did.
Yes.
Had a guy out there ask. I was out there last night. Had a guy ask, hey, is Nate coming out? And I think he's coming out tomorrow night, which would be tonight.
Yeah, I'm hoping to.
Yeah.
I should be able to.
I know a couple of nights ago, I was like, I wonder if RJ's at the Thursday night tournament. And I popped on my PS4 and I scrolled down. Nope, he's playing Dark Souls. He's staying home tonight.
No, Thursday? No, we.
No, no, no. It wasn't this Thursday. It was last Thursday because you weren't here that weekend. But I think you were there. You were up. You were at GT South this Thursday.
Yeah,
because they played a game.
Which one?
I want to.
Is it like a Mugen?
It was like a Mugen game. Out of a. Maybe Japan.
Dingo No Punch or something. I don't know what it's called.
Dom Dom Never Dies or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just some fan-made Mugen type. Some guys dressed up in fun. Some ladies dressed up in funny outfits and did moves, and they digitized them and put them in this one stage fighting game. And for some reason, Mario's in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Right?
Who fights like Akuma in a Street Fighter?
Yeah. We had.
Then they had someone who. Actually was like Akuma in Street Fighter, some dude with red hair, topless, and doing all types of special moves. He was so overpowered, Mike said, we're going to have to ban him for the second round. He's just too broken.
We talked to them last week and asked them what the game was at the tournament on Thursday, and it was Joust. And that would be the one you didn't go to, and it was Joust, because it now can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the consensus was that a game like the one that they played this Thursday and Joust was kind of like it levels the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody who knows how to play Joust as far as strategically or, you know,
just button mash and flop around.
Joust is just like you run to the other guy and you. Sometimes you hit and bounce off, and then you just keep going until whatever.
This was like the 2600.
I have no idea what they played it on.
Okay. Because all I can think about is a 2600 version where you had to, just be slightly above the other person, and I think that was the advantage position you were in.
Well, and then this Mugen thing, since nobody knew what they were doing or how to play it.
No, we didn't. I didn't.
Yeah, kind of just leveled the playing field. So we'll talk to them sometime this hour and find out what's going on with them. I can tell you, tonight is their lip sync battle, and then tomorrow they're doing something special. They're opening up Sunday night to show Game of Thrones, the premiere episode of Game of Thrones.
Did want to say one thing about Hearthstone for this week for the new part coming out, and you might be slightly interested if you still play at all. If you just play during this week, you get 3 free packs. If you win 2 games, you get 5 packs. And then if you win 5 more games, you get another 5 packs. So all in all, this week you can get 13 free packs.
Nice.
If you're interested.
Okay. The game I've been playing has been Stories, The Path of Destinies. This is a game that I saw at PAX South when I was there. Just kind of caught my eye. I was looking at something else, and I did not have an appointment for them. It caught my eye, walked over, scheduled an appointment for the very next day, got to sit down and play the game for about 10 minutes, but I'd been interested in it because, again, here's a game, and I'm coming off of Quantum Break, which I still haven't finished. I never went back to finish that last boss fight. Quantum Break, time travel story, tries to do the whole your choices matter type of thing. And we talked about this.
What? Go ahead, sorry, Dave.
Oh.
it's listening to that E3 thing here and you guys talking about Quantum Break and now it being released.
Yeah.
Funny.
See, Nate listened on the way in?
Today? This morning.
Yeah.
Changing my oil.
You were listening to E3 from...
2013.
2013.
When all the consoles were announced.
Is that 13?
Yeah.
That long ago.
They'll be 3 years old this
Good
year.
Lord!
Yeah. I came on the show when I was 14.
I did not...
No, was it 14? Yeah.
Really? Anyway.
Anyways, yeah. So you guys... James was talking about Quantum Break. He's like, it looked really interesting. I was like, no, he wouldn't even go near it.
Yeah. But it did.
It did, yeah.
It always did. I mean, look. I said this in the write-up of the show post for this past week. It's Remedy, you know? I'm always going to give them the benefit of the doubt because...
That's exactly what you guys said on the episode.
Oh, God.
It's really funny.
It's Max Payne and Max Payne 2, which were really, really great. And then there was Alan Wake, which, you know, had its charm, man. It worked its way into actually being rather decent, really good. The sequel, maybe not so much, or whatever it was, American Nightmare.
American Nightmare, yeah. Didn't play it yet.
Maybe not so much, but... Alan Wake was fantastic. So I always, it's not necessarily that I always want to support what they do, but I always want to see what they're doing. I always want to, you know, get a taste of whatever it is that they're making, to see if it's, if it's still on that level. I don't necessarily know what the Quantum Break is. I think time will tell on that one. I kind of want to say, just to get out in front of it, was that probably not. But anyway, the whole thing about choices matter. I never like to buy into that thing. I never like to get fed a line, because that's their marketing, and so your choices matter. You can affect the gameplay. Well,
marketing lies.
Right. In Quantum Break, that's not necessarily how it works. Your choices do matter because they affect the next cutscene. Doesn't necessarily... And again, I haven't watched any playthroughs where people pick the opposite of what I picked to see how different it is. And I guess I could go through it and try and figure that out, but I haven't done that. So I don't necessarily know how much it affects gameplay, but I know it affects the cutscenes. And the cutscenes are live-action cutscenes, or at least live-action 30-minute segments of their TV show.
So you know they had to film at least two of them.
It's interesting what they would have had to film. I'm kind of curious. Because what if it's just generic enough, you know, that it can go both ways?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I've really never bought into that line. However, Stories, The Path of Destinies is a game that personifies, exemplifies where choices matter.
Oh, really?
I am not kidding you. This is a game that plays like a choose-your-own-adventure novel. You play a level, and at the end of the level, you get 2 to 3 choices of which way you want to go. And you click one of those choices, and it moves the story in that direction. At the end of that level, it splits again, 2 to 3 choices of which way you want to go. And it does this over 5 levels. So that by the end of the level, depending on the choices that you've made, you get 1 of 24 endings. Wow. There is only one true ending. So it may be 25, maybe 1 of 25 endings you get. But there's a nice little game board at the end that shows the, hey, you uncovered this ending. And it gives a kind of a, not necessarily a summary of the story, but it gives you a summary of what you learned. Mm-hmm. And then it does this weird thing. As soon as you hit continue, the narrator, who is fantastic, by the way, he's the only voice in the game. He's fantastic. He says something in the sense of, but that's not exactly how it happened. And then it flips back to the very first choice you have to make.
Nice.
And it opens up again, and you can go through and pick these different choices again throughout the entire game.
Reminds me a little bit of Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, like when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's not right.
That's not how it happened, right. Mm-hmm. However, this is multiple endings. And you do die. I mean, you can die in combat and stuff. We're going to, like, so for those of you who are listening to this on the radio, if you can find our Twitch stream, you'll be able to see some gameplay during the interview coming up at the top of the hour. You'll see some gameplay and kind of get a feel of that. Those of you who are watching on Twitch, you'll get to watch the, very Bastion-esque there, the Was Man Returns. You'll be able to watch it on our Twitch stream, as well as listen to the interview that we do with Atul Mehra, is his name, from Spearhead Games, who worked on Stories, The Path of Destinies. It's a game that's kind of been buried. It's on PS4 and it's on PC. And it's kind of been buried a little bit under, you know, the weight of Dark Souls 3 and other kind of, you know, AAA titles that are out there and that sort of thing. But I am not kidding. When you want to talk about a game that gives you, you know, a bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Because you are getting so much out of this.
You know, 25 endings, that screams replay value.
Over 5 levels. Yeah. Over 5 levels. And the levels do not feel repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get to upgrade swords. You get, I think, 4 different swords, and you get to activate those and then upgrade them once they're activated. And these swords, each of these different swords, unlock doors throughout different levels. And so your path in a level can be vastly different each time you play through. I know on the 4th playthrough, it was just before we were doing the interview, I was trying to get another ending there, and I was coming to a level that I'd already been to, and I said, well, you know, I know the path deviates. I can go in all these directions, but I was like, I don't want to do that. I just want to go straight to where I'm supposed to go. And even trying to do that, I got mixed up and moved all over the place. And finally, it's not necessarily a circle, you know? It's not one of these things where if you make a choice, you might get back on, you know, oh, I've already been through this area or something like that. That never has happened to me. It's all been brand new. Every time I get lost, I'm in some new place that I'd never been before within that level.
What system are you playing it on?
I am on PS4.
Okay.
And I'm playing on a PS4.
It handles really well for the controller and
console. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. And again, you'll get to see this stuff. What I hate is that you won't be able to hear the narrator, but if you find a trailer for this, you'll be able to listen to the narrator. He's fantastic. Just really, really good. Yeah, Enter the Gungeon. W. Matthew says Enter the Gungeon also buried it. Enter the Gungeon did fantastic, and I'm very proud of that title for doing what it did. Like 200 or 300,000 sales in like the first week. So I'm really, really impressed with that. That's another great little title from Devolver. That's really, really good. So we got to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk more. Now, I do talk more about Stories, Path to Destinies. If anybody has any questions about that stuff, please feel free to ask them in the chat room, and I will answer them if you do have any questions on it. Again, really good game. I know I shower it with praise in the interview, and I'll shower it with praise now, but that's coming up at the top of the hour. We've got a phone call that we're going to go to right after the break here. And I believe, that's W. Matthew. So I am sure we're going to be talking about the PS4K, which has now been named Neo.
PS4K.
Yeah, I still like PS4K.
Yeah, it's the only thing I'm calling
it. I know, I still like PS4K. I mean, they won't call it the Neo, you know. I don't know what they'll call it. They'll probably call it PS4K.
That's the only thing I will be calling
it. The marketing on that seems perfect.
Yeah.
They'll probably call it something... The PS4U or something, you know?
Yeah, it'd be like PS4.2.
Yeah, you know, something stupid like that, or the PS4.5. But PS4K works fantastic for something like this, so...
or it's going to be the PS4 Plus.
Yeah. Something like that. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have W. Matthew. We'll talk about that. Speaking of Remedy, we have music here from Max Payne. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat in just a moment. Thank you. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from MechWarrior 2. In-game chats, I'm Scott. We got RJ, Matt, and Nate here with us. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. 334-272-9228. That number again is 334-272-9228. Somebody who has gotten in touch with us and almost talks with us on a weekly basis is W. Matthew. Hey, man.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the PlayStation Neo or 4K or whatever people really want to call it.
What do you think? I was going to say, what name do you think? You think they're going to go with a stupid name?
I would imagine the PlayStation 4K is the best name they could go with.
Which seems like they won't. Right, exactly.
That's almost guaranteed.
If we know marketing, we know they'll come up with something.
Well, Drivatar.
Right, Drivatar. Well, they called it. They called it the PlayStation Move. You know, and I don't know. Whatever. I've read the same articles that you've read. We got some specs basically on what this thing can do. Go ahead, run down what you wanted to say about it.
I mean, to sort of follow up on it, Eurogamer also did a tech analysis of it too. It's basically a 30% improved processor, a 2x graphics card with, and about a 24% increase in memory efficiency in the RAM. The graphics processor, for what I understand, is basically the equivalent to a 970.
And what is the one? The one we currently have is equivalent to what?
750 right. Ti, I believe. Yeah. So really, like a graphics card you'd get in any computer you buy off the shelf at this point.
It's got a 500 megahertz increase to the CPU clock speed, 42 gig per second increase in memory bandwidth. Something I was reading here was that games running in the updated mode will have access to the upgraded hardware and deliver greater visual fidelity, though it is unlikely the titles will be able to use the added horsepower for 4K in-game visuals. I don't even have a 4K set, so I'm not necessarily sure.
Yeah, 4K ain't happening. Even high-end PCs can't do 4K. Like, that ain't happening.
Right.
But, yeah, basically you're talking about a 30% increased processor, basically an upgrade to a 970, which isn't a solid of a graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's pretty much the standard of what you're going to buy for buying a gaming PC at this point, so that makes sense, and better use of RAM. Like, this is exactly what I think a lot of people thought it was going to be. This is basically a PS4.5. This is a mid-cycle upgrade unit.
Yeah, kind of a stopgap until the next generation.
Right, which that's going to be interesting to see, because W. Matthew brought this up last time. One of the times that we've talked about this was how this is going to progress. You know, it's. I'm interested, obviously, in the release of this midway point, I guess you could say, whatever it is, the 4K. I'm interested in the release of that. I'm not necessarily interested in picking one up just yet, but I am interested in the release of that. I know it's going to be premium priced. Or actually, it's probably going to be priced what the PS4 was priced when it initially released.
Yeah, it's probably going to be $400.
Right, going to be $400.
This is probably going to be $400. I wouldn't be surprised if they made the old PS4 like $250 and did like a budget model and premium model kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they don't do like with the new 3DS where the games coming out now will require the 4K.
Well, what was that about? I think it's beginning in October.
Games will require a Neo mode, but cannot be only Neo games. But let's be honest, I suspect we're going to have a Hyrule Warriors with 3DS situation with the Neo. I wouldn't be surprised if a game ran absolutely terribly on a game comes out that runs terribly on the PS4 and basically becomes unplayable unless you play it on the PlayStation Neo.
That'll suck. But
I can actually see that happening.
But I, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that happening.
But the interesting thing that I'm also curious about is the release of the PS4K, but then I'm curious what they do next. Do they go PS5 or do they continue to build on this? Do they drop numbers all? Do people get out of the numbering system altogether and somehow move it? I'm curious how the ball moves forward after the 4K release.
My reaction to this is like, and I'm kind of already doing this anyway since I don't own a PS4. I said before a PC. It's like if I were a console owner and I see this, it's like, well, why wouldn't I just go PC? Because it is a PC but a closed platform. I'd rather have the open platform of a PC at that point.
my thought on that is that a lot of people are either intimidated by PCs or for whatever reason there's this barrier in their head that.
The thing is, like, again, like, I will advocate PC any day of the week, but I will also acknowledge PCs are much more fiddly. Like, they are. You're mm-hmm. going to have minor issues here and there. You're going to have to do some. You're going to have to do some troubleshooting from time to time. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact of PC. But as for me, I go PC because I want to play my games at 60 FPS. I'm not a big graphics guy, but I am a frame rate person. I want my games at 60 FPS, and it is something I'm willing to put up with the minor hassle of troubleshooting from time to time is something I'm willing to put up with to get that.
Yeah, but I think the majority of the public out there aren't. The majority of the public out there want...
no muss, no fuss, just easy play.
Yeah, they're just stuck in the console. They're stuck there. They're not going to move away from it. This will sound funny. I was going to say the price of entry on PC is equivalent to or even less for something decent to what a PS4K will cost or what a PS4 did cost when initially released. Both consoles, basically.
The price of entry to PC is higher, but you could buy games for cheaper. You could probably come out about the same in the long run on PC. But you're looking at if you look like, oh, the PS4 sold 40 million, like, okay, look at those numbers. That is the U.S. and Europe. Like, consoles, not just Japan, but Asia in general, consoles are dead. Like, China has no interest in consoles. I'm like, you can say what you want, but look at the long-term trends. Like, outside of, like, there are a lot of emerging markets that don't really care about consoles. So it is easy to say, well, oh, people prefer consoles, but I think that is very much a Western preference. And as we become more global, I don't know how long even that lasts. Yeah. Especially with a change like this, it's just like, okay, at that point you're just doing the PC thing, so why bother?
Yeah, I'll also be interested in seeing the... who is it? The Digital Foundry, I think, does a lot of these breakdowns.
Yeah, they have one. That's one of the things. Yeah. Like they did one.
I know that they're using. I guess they're using the specs from that to sort of mimic it because I know they don't have their hands on one. But I'll be interested to see their comparisons to both games running. One game running on a PS4 and the same game running on a PS4K just to see the differences. Games that are optimized for the 4K running on both and seeing how that goes and just getting deep down into it to see the real physical differences, you know, the real world setup differences there.
Well, rumors are to believe we will know by October.
Yep. Because that was what the requirement was for developers to ship titles from October onward with a base mode compatible with the existing PS4 and a Neo mode for the updated hardware.
That actually goes into a larger question because, like, shortly after that came out, there rumors came out of Microsoft prototyping new hardware, and there are now rumors because of AMD saying that they have three new gaming processors this year, that Nintendo's NX might also be on AMD as well, or more specifically, Nintendo might be going x86 as well.
Yeah, that was the rumor. And that's something else that will... what's strange here is that we've got an E3 with new consoles being announced. But it doesn't feel like the hype of a new console...
E3?
E3, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to get new stuff here.
Because one of them isn't a new console. It's an upgrade. It's a revision more than it is a new console.
Well, it's true. It still feels like... I'm still anticipating. I still have that anticipation, though, of like, ooh, come on, reveal this thing. Is it going to look the same? Does it have the same? Aesthetic? Are they going to change that up?
I'm guessing they're going to change up the looks a little bit, because like when you look back to the Slims, you know, even from like the original PS1, from the PlayStation, you know, it was smaller, the little flip load.
Given that it has a significantly better graphics card in there, I don't necessarily see them slimming that thing too much.
I'm not necessarily saying slimming it, but like the design PlayStation has been a design change.
Yeah, every new SKU that they've released has had a design.
Physical redesign.
Yeah.
It'll be all matte black.
Yeah.
There's also sort of rumors that it might be that the new graphics card might actually be AMD's Polaris chips that...
That would make sense.
The timing would line up. That's when they're planning supposedly to launch at the end of the year. So, timing would fall into place there.
And they've always had their... AMD and the console makers have just been in bed together for a very long time.
Not really. Only this gen. It's only about 3 years.
Was it only this gen? I thought they were... Who was it last year? Or not last year, last gen.
Last gen, Microsoft was PowerPC, which was IBM, and Sony did their own thing in the cell processor.
Maybe I'm thinking of Nintendo then?
Nintendo technically was PowerPC as well.
Okay. Why did I think they were with AMD for such a long time? I don't know why I thought that, but I thought they had. Well, you know, it's something to look forward to at E3, just to kind of see what comes out, what we get on a price, what we get on the looks of the thing.
PS3's GPU was co-developed with NVIDIA.
It was their own thing, but they had NVIDIA's help, yeah. Interesting. I don't know where I got the AMD from. ATI, yeah. Mm-hmm. Trauma Vape says Wii was ATI and Wii U was ATI, which I guess is AMD as well, right? Wasn't ATI and AMD the same?
AMD bought ATI in like 2008 or something like that, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how all that turns out at E3, obviously. Whenever we get some updates. Anything else you wanted to hit on, W. Matthew?
I guess I should mention early May, like May 5th through 8th, is open beta for Overwatch.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, did you get into that open beta or the closed beta last weekend?
Unfortunately, no, but I had played it at PAX last year, so I have actually played the game before.
You got in. You played it, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm really good. A little bugbear of mine, it's not with Overwatch, but it's the way Overwatch has been covered. It is very clear most people in the games press have very little PC exposure, because I've seen so many TF2 comparisons, and it's very much Quake and Unreal Tournament.
Yeah, especially Reddit's been annoying me with that.
Reddit can be annoying.
But it sort of shows just how much of the gaming press has come from consoles and not PC.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a side note. Go check out the 3-part series on that GameSpot that Danny O'Dwyer did.
That's been really good.
What are they doing?
He did a 3-part series basically with Blizzard breaking down of the fall of Titan, how they restructured for Overwatch, and then what was today's episode?
Today was basically the different heroes and the inspiration for different heroes and that sort of thing.
They've been doing it the last 3 days, and today's the part three of the last day. And they're like, 15 minutes, 20 minutes?
15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, where is that at now?
They're on YouTube.
Throw a link in there. Yeah, put it on there.
Throw a link into the chat room for everybody.
I'll look into that.
Another benefit for those of you who are listening on the radio to jump into the chat room, jump in and watch us on Twitch, is to get links like this so you can see what we're talking about.
It is very much Quake, Unreal Tournament, that sort of thing. Very fast-paced, very much about verticality.
Well, W. Matthew, thanks again for calling in, man.
Yep, you do.
We'll talk to you later.
Yep.
Have a good one.
If you would like to get in on the show, you can. 334-272-9228 is the number. 334-272-9228.
Do I have a second to ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so what would you do to upgrade to the PS4K? If it was, say, you could trade your console in, and how much would you pay extra?
Obviously, you know, GameStop or whatever will run
this type of promotions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Promotions where it's like, bring that in, you get ever how much knocked off, regardless of what it is, bring it in, you'll get this much.
Okay, and then also let's say it's $400.
Right now, I
no.
No, yeah, I'm not.
First thing I'd have to do is take out the hard drive and replace it with the old one that was in there.
Because I still have a PT on my hard drive.
And yeah.
So if, get rid of that.
So if you could trade your PS4 in for the new one for $100.
And get the new one for $100?
Yep.
I don't know. Probably do
possibly.
I'd have to see the benefits first. I'd right. See I mean, the actual benefits
this
first
is, this is if I am deciding to get it. Mm-hmm. And I could do that, then yeah, I would go that route. But I'm not yet sold on it, and not because of anything other than how big are the differences. I want to see that. I understand there are numbers on paper. Mm-hmm. I want to see it.
And I'm perfectly willing to wait. I mean, I've haven't bought a console at launch in a very long time since Dreamcast. I mean, I'm going to wait to get all the information I can before I do that.
What's going to annoy me is games getting released under the 4K banner type situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not necessarily like they've told all the developers that hey, if you're shipping after October, you need to have a base mode and a Neo mode. But I'm also sure that they've told people, oh, you can release a game that's just pure Neo mode if you want, but it does need a PS3 counterpart, you know, type situation. So they can release a game that has both in there, kind of like flipping it on and off when you're playing Tales of Monkey Island or whatever.
Yeah.
If somebody's playing on the Neo, they can do that. Or if they've got it on PS3, then again, what's stopping them from releasing just a purely? Somebody posted in the chat room Uncharted 4K.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Uncharted 4 we get next month, and what's stopping them from doing the Uncharted 4K remaster? You know, that comes out afterwards.
Kind of like they did with all the remasters now on the PS4.
Well, they did that because I get why they did that, because it was running towards the end of the cycle.
Yeah.
And some people didn't have, and they didn't have backwards compatibility, so some people never had a PS3 and never played those games, Nathan.
But when I think of like whenever they did the PS3 Slim or the PS2 Slim, I know those were a slimmer version, but they did have, if I'm not mistaken, a little bit better stuff. But, you could play. You know, there was never that, designation of like, all right,
it may
this
have
game
been,
is for the Slim
right.
only.
It may have been a little bit better, but they never had to.
Yeah.
Like your situation, and we talked about this, the new 3DS can only play, or not can only play, those games from the SNES virtual console stuff can only be played on the new 3DS. It cannot be played on any of the other iterations, just the new 3DS. Yeah, exactly. The Wasman Returns, the Uncharted 4K remaster is the Neo mode part of it, though. Yeah, but they're not. That game is not getting released in a until afterwards. It'll get like a 4K remaster. I need to see it before I make any kind of decision on that. Like I do with my phones, and we talked about this, that they go the route of the phone where every year we get a new console. Being the 0.5 version of whatever was.
That's more like the DS has done that in the 3DS.
It really has. But like you get the port, you get the PS4 4K this year. 2 years down the line, you get the PS5. 2 years after that, you get the PS5K or 5.5.
Yeah.
And then 2 years after that, you get the PS6, something like that. And your game's compatibility runs within the past two generations. So the 4K can play on 4 and 4K. The 5 will play 4K and 5 titles.
Yeah.
The 5K or the 5.5 will play those games and the 5, but not, and then it just kind of moves from there. So it may put me at a position where every 4 years I buy a new console.
Yeah. Skip a generation or two.
Right. You skip that next generation and just go. Or you're in the generation that gets the 5.5.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, my iPhone cycle is the solid number. So I'm on iPhone 6.
Oh, really? I used to go with the S cycle.
You went for the S cycle. Yeah, I'm on just the 6, and then the 6S, and then the 7, and whatever else. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they'll do that, and I'm really curious to find out how that's going to go. We got to take a break. When we come back, we will be having a recorded interview that we did earlier in the week with Atul Mira from Spearhead Games for Stories, The Path of Destinies. We'll be talking with him in the next segment when we come back. So stick around. We're going to have video playing while that is running so you can get an idea of what this game looks like and how it plays. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat here in just a moment. Music from Metal Gear Solid right now. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. We are currently talking with Atul Mira from, are you with Spearhead Games or are you just your own company?
No. I'm actually a co-founder of the studio.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Anyway, back to the introduction here that Atul is with Spearhead and he is the creator of a game that just came out, I believe it was last week or so, that was Stories, The Path of Destinies. And it's a game that I had discovered at PAX South that really caught my eye. I was walking through the aisles, and I saw just the title said Stories. That's it. And that's what hooked me, because I am a huge fan of storytelling in any medium. Just I really like good storytelling, and this caught my eye, and I said, I'm going to go over there. I did not have an appointment with you at all.
You just walked in.
Exactly. I just saw that, and I was like, ooh, what is this? And I scheduled an appointment right there on the spot so that I could talk to you about this game, because I was completely interested. And let me tell you, after having played it now, since I started playing it on Sunday, having played it now, I am hooked on this. And I don't know if I'm hooked on trying to find the one true ending, or if I'm hooked on trying to find all the endings before I get to the one true. I'm not exactly sure. It's kind of a puzzle game in figuring out which way is going to give you what ending, but it's also a choose-your-own-adventure game. And I would like you, basically, to tell us about Stories, The Path of Destinies.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I would like to hear your description of it before I give you my description.
Okay, well, I like to fix one thing first, though. Like, you know, creator, me being only creator is like stretching it. We are actually a team of 13 people here. So small studio, 13 people, but everybody put their heart and soul into it. So I can't just say it was just me, the creator. It's actually 13 people creator here.
Oh, well, what was your main contribution to the game then?
So I focus a lot on the business aspects of things. People listen to my Peanut Gallery comments about, like, you know, design and stuff like that. But primarily, like, the creative director is Malik Pukhira. The art director is actually Yann Maugrin. We have an art team which is full of, like, three people. So Yann is one of them. Then we have Keisha and Keith, which are artists support working with Yann. And then in the engineering side, we actually have three people again. It's Thierry, who's who's our lead engineer. Like, we hired him the day we started. And then we had Franco, who joined us afterwards. We also have Emily. Emily is actually somebody who's been working with us for a long time and hopefully will be on the premises soon. So that's the engineering side. And then we have the design side, actually. In the design, we have Malik, who does the more like combat, for example, was his baby. And then we have Phil and Matthew, who actually work with him, and both are level designers. Phil actually focused a lot on the structure of the game from narrative perspective, and he worked with actually two more people. One is Nadeem Bukira, who's a writer, as well as Alex Epstein, who's a writer also, and he's writing actually. Alex is right now writing for Be Happy Few. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are. It's another great game. Check it out.
Yeah, yeah. That's Compulsive Games, I believe.
Compulsion.
Compulsion Games. Yeah, yeah. We interviewed them for Contrast whenever they had Contrast come out. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Had a fantastic chat with them, a two-part interview, because it went on for about an hour, so I had to split it up. It was I did not plan for that to happen, but it did, but it was just really, really good. Love talking with them. But
so I have a quiz for you then. Uh-oh. Do you recognize the voice?
No, I don't recognize the voice.
It's the same guy. It's Julian Casey for both games, man.
It's been a while since I played Contrast, but no, I did not recognize the voice.
It's Julian Casey. We actually work with Julian Casey a lot, and Compulsion Games also work for them. In Be Happy Few, Julian Casey is there again, actually. So, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, nothing against this is aside from everybody who worked on that game. He really is, he's kind of the heart and soul of what stories actually is, obviously, because he's the narrator. And he has to convey, everything that's going on, especially when a choice has an effect on your character, whether it be a good choice or a bad choice. He kind of has to convey that doom and gloom, or that, uplifting, whatever the case may be, depending on which way the choice goes. And he does a fantastic job. This is, like, his way of telling a story is exactly the way I envision stories when I read them in my head. just, giving a voice to the character whenever he reads a different part. You know, it's still him reading it, but he changes it slightly to give a little bit of a characterization to the person he's reading for. And it's just, I have so much praise for this game that I have to be very careful. Otherwise, I'm going to just shower you with, with praise and not get to, getting to the questions and stuff. But first, going back to my original question, tell us, when you have to explain stories, the path of destiny to someone, how do you do that?
Oh, boy. Okay. So we pretty much tell people that it's... if you were a kid and you were inspired by Choose Your Own Adventure books, okay, we took that and mushed it up with the Edge of Tomorrow, and that's what we wanted to make. We wanted to try an experiment in narrative. That was our goal, to try something new. We did not want to make something linear again. And story is pretty much an experiment in narrative. That's what we did.
And that's a pretty... app description. That's the one I would use for, because I remember you telling me that it's a very choose your own adventure style. At PAX South, I only had, a little time to play it. And I went through making my first choice and that sort of thing. But I really didn't know how deep the rabbit hole went until I got my hands on it and went through it. And even before I got to the end of, and it's very hard to explain without somebody who's not played it, but when I got to the end of the game, so to speak, before I had gotten there, I had choices in the level, what doors my sword could open, different pathways to take, which would always get me to, it would always get me to the goal of whatever the level was, but there's so many branching pathways to go through on a level. I just was playing it before we did this interview, and I had so many different options when I had taken the desert temple path again, because that was my second time going through it. But I had unlocked all my swords now, and so I could unlock so many different doors. And even after unlocking doors, even when there was no choice of a door if your sword could unlock it or not, there was just should I go left or should I go right? And there were just different ways to go about it. And I am in love with that aspect. I am in love with...
It's all about giving choices, right? The whole game is about choices.
Yeah.
So you have the choices in the narrative. You have the choices in, like, you know, the actually, like, meaningful choices. Like, you know, when you're actually making, do I save a friend or do I make go after a doomsday weapon? You know, it's all about choices. And even in gameplay, when you're actually just, you know, exploring, it's about choices there too. So the whole game is about choices. And we are not afraid to tell you that some of the choices you're going to make, you're going to die and you're going to suffer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've already done that a few times already. I have not obviously found the one true ending that exists, so far my ending... Well, I don't want to tell everybody what my endings are, but I've discovered three of the four truths so far.
Oh, okay. Okay, very cool.
Right. Three of the four. And I have an idea. I'm working on the fourth, and I think I have an idea of... how it's going to come. Like, I can see the symbol on the, I don't know what you guys call that, the end game thing, the
board?
The board, yes, sure, yes. We'll call it that way. I can see the symbol on the truth that I'm missing, and I know, okay. I know what symbol that means, and so now I have to find the correct path to get to some ending along that line,
yes.
So that I can unlock that one, and I think, and I'm working on that just before we did this interview, but a lot of this is confusing to say, or a lot of it may be confusing to listen to if you have not played this game. The reason I'm being vague as I can possibly be is because, honestly, I do not want it spoiled. I kind of want people to go into it a lot like I did, which was I had 10 minutes of playtime with you, I think, at PAX South,
and had
no idea what to expect. And then when I opened it up, I realized, oh my God, there are 27 possible endings?
24 possible endings.
24 possible endings of this game.
And then one happy ending.
So, I want people to understand that there's a lot of games where people can say, you get your money's worth. This is one that defines that.
Sweet, thank you.
Because of, a lot of people say this game has a lot of replayability. Here is another game that defines replayability. And replayability not in a repetitive sense either. Because everything feels, like I said, I'm going through it on my fourth time now, and I'm still getting a new feeling. You know, I'm getting a sense of discovery when I go through old levels, only for the fact that I've upgraded myself and I can move around the level differently now. So again, very hard to describe. That's something that I'm curious about, is how does a game like this come about? How does this idea spawn in somebody's head?
Oh, wow. Okay, so this was... I guess I would say third iteration of the original idea. We had a first idea, which we did for PAX East. That turned out to be pretty crappy. We had to ditch that. Because we also, one of the development philosophies we have is that we regularly do playtests. So every so often, we'll put the game in front of, like, you know, almost every month, or like at least 2-3 times a month, we'll put the game in front of people to just come and play. And we'll call friends, families, everybody, people in the building. We'll just yank them out and say, hey, just 15, 20 minutes. Give us that. So when we watch people play, you know, there's really no debate after that. Because if a guy can't do something, a guy or girl cannot do something on the screen, well, you know, they can't. So the verdict is right there. So you don't fight that verdict. But so we did a lot of playtests, and we realized that, okay, so our first idea was pretty crappy. Then there was an evolution of that idea into something really different, where we had a different kind of map that we were trying to figure out, where you make different kind of choices, where you were flying in a ship and you were kind of going to island, kind of on a map. And that was not giving the right feeling. It didn't have that immersiveness of the story of, like, the fairy tale. So then that idea got tossed out. This was around, I would say, before PAX Prime, and around PAX Prime is when we actually nailed it. Okay, this is the way we should be presenting this whole narrative, the choice-based narrative. Phil, Malik, Nadim really spent a lot of time actually on just building this structure so that the fairy tale integrity stays there. So you can actually, when you're actually making a choice, like, you know, when you're panning into the book, out of the book, you get that feel that, okay, it's a meaningful choice I'm doing, and now I'm back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer somewhat.
Well, no, it does. It's just that this is so your game, which is not a puzzle game, but your game and puzzle games, especially, I don't know, it's plenty of people have played games where a game has promised them that your choices matter or your choices affect how the game is played. And a lot of the times, and we've had long discussions on our show about choices in video games and how really they don't really do anything. You're still on a path that takes you to the end of the game that has been predetermined regardless of the choices you made in previous levels. This does not fall under that category.
No, because we wanted to get meaningful choices, and that's and you're right. Like, you know, we love other games, like, you know, Telltale games. We love those games. So some of the lessons that we were taking was from games like that. Like, you know, I worked on Army of Two, and so did Phil and Malik a bit on Army of Two, and we learned about the choices that how choices system were working there. So when we were on this one, we said we have to make it like different. It has to be that you kind of have a meaningful choice where you actually do something. It could be the totally different ending from what you actually intended to. So that's how, like, you know, it was supposed to be different. It is, that's for, hence you also have like 24 different endings, which is a little insane for a game, but, like, you know, we wanted to go towards that not every time you're a hero, you're a good guy. Mm-hmm. You can do bad things. And this is what it was.
How confusing or how difficult was it to keep track of all the paths when you guys were writing this thing and mapping it out? What must that room look like with papers everywhere? And I'm sure, did you guys do the string thing so that this leads to this and that sort of thing?
No, we are famous for doing sticky things. Like, you know, we have stickies all over the room.
Yeah.
And I know Phil and Nadeem were pulling their hair out at one point because it was so confusing with building, like, you know, 24 different paths. We have like a room which has like full of stickies. That's all it is. Just stickies everywhere. And it's like, you know, that got narrowed down into 24 paths of stickies. So you can actually look at the wall and say, okay, so from this choice, if I do this, then I go here. If I do this, then this happens. And like, so yeah, it was you're right. It was very, very, very complex. And it took us months actually to Phil and Nadeem to actually just figure out this whole paths for different narratives. It is extremely difficult. Next time we do it, we actually have to rethink how to make our lives a little easier because it's impossible, this insanity.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier with people who make puzzle games. I'm always fascinated by how they come up with puzzles and solutions, especially when they can be so complex. And a game like yours, which again, this is a game that I've never experienced before. Because of the way that it's laid out and the way that your choices do make a difference in the path that you go down. Apt name, by the way. So it's always interesting to me how, number one, it is conceived, and then number two, how do you keep track of it all?
Yeah, there are horror stories about tracking. We had Excel sheets flying back and forth, and everybody's going, what the hell is this? Now what happened? It was miserable. It was not an easy task, seriously. But kudos goes to, like, you know, definitely Phil and Nadeem actually to be able to hold the structure together of the game. It was just a raw power. At some point, it was just like plowing through it. That's all we had to do.
Yeah, it fascinates me, and to play this and to figure this out on my own as well, just to go down the different paths and to figure out which way I'm going to end up on the board at the end of the game, is a puzzle game in and of itself, trying to figure out how to get to where you want to go to, because I'm trying to find those different endings, and you know, it does feel like it's a little bit of a puzzle to get to where you need to go. But as far as the storyline itself, the game, first off, the gameplay, the art, the look of everything is fantastic. It's right up my alley. It gives you that cartoon feel, but not I'm trying to figure out how to describe it, but it feels very familiar.
So it probably, our inspirations, to be honest with you, was actually Bastion.
Okay.
Yeah, so we loved Bastion, and the like, you know, the bright colors were just amazing. We just felt that there are not enough games that do that a lot. So that was inspiration. And in this now, if you mixed a little bit of Japanese manga, because that's all that Jan watches on the side of the screen all the time. So you combine the two, and that's what you get.
Well, no, that's a good way to look at it, and again, this stretches outside of the norm. Here is a game that offers choice, but here is also a game that is really colorful. It's not just throwing your browns at you and you know, being a one palette type thing. It is a beautiful game. The artwork is fantastic. The animations in it are great. The combat is very satisfying. It's not confusing. You don't throw so much in there like a hack and slash where I have so many kinds of button combinations that I have to use to do attacks. It's very, very,
yeah.
It's very, very simple, because obviously I guess your focus is on the story, which I guess it should be.
True, the focus is on story, but at the same time, we didn't want the combat to feel like a traditional hack and slash, which you kind of like just go hack, 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 one, like, you know. We wanted to add a little difference to it. So hence, the combat actually is inspired, like, you know, Malik spent a lot of time on this, and it's his baby. He pretty much got inspired from, like, Shadow of Mordor, as well as from Batman Arkham, to get some familiar, you know, extremely good, flowing, responsive style of combat. Mm-hmm. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, it's the different abilities, like the hook I use all the time. And then the grab. I start, again, playing through it on my fourth time, I've started to evolve my combat now, because it's not enough to be able to counter with all the different...
Did you try to level up to the time abilities?
Well, I mean, right now I've got everything leveled up on the first row, and I've got a few things leveled up on the second row. But I have not gone down the time path just yet. It is on the first row, but I haven't increased it on the second one yet.
Okay, you might want to explore that, because that kind of will almost give you like a cinematic feel you're playing. And also it'll give you the ability to actually, when the combat gets intense, it actually gives you the ability to almost plan what you want to do next.
I will take a look at that, because it is getting intense now. The fourth playthrough, and I'm getting multiple waves of enemies in mm-hmm. in combat zones, and I'm getting, you know, more of the tougher guys to take out. So I've been using a lot of the hook throw and that sort of thing to kind of stave off attacks and to get rid of those stupid birds that heal and shield the guys. God. Between those guys and the dudes that blow up, which you would think blow up dudes would be able to get away because you can dash out, but when you're put on a very small area to fight in, you really have to kind of coordinate and figure out what you're going to do to kind of get away from those guys. So,
yeah.
But no, everything about this game I've found so satisfying, and it's not that I didn't really expect that. I didn't know what to expect, honestly. You know, small studio. Here's a game that I just saw at a convention, and really haven't heard much about since PAX South. Kind of been a little bit quiet, at least from what I've read and stuff like that. And it seems to be flying under the radar, and I really hate that, because more people need to experience this, especially for all the people who complain about choices in video games. Here you go. Here is your example that sets the rule that you can make choices in gaming work, because it works exactly like a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Yeah, it's that's what the that's what we wanted to make, actually. So a mashup between choose-your-adventure and Edge of Tomorrow.
Well, the Edge of Tomorrow, yes, because when you're done with it, when you're done with an ending that isn't the right ending, I guess you could say. It does that whole sense of, but wait, this is not what happened. Then it flips the pages back and you start again. And I love that you start again with a little bit of, when it reads the path that you took before, it's like, hey, you could go do this. And then, you know, Ronaldo has a suspicious feeling that this was going to happen. You know, he felt he'd been here before and was about to experience. That's just it's just fantastic the way you guys have laid this out.
We wanted the narrator to, like, you know, kind of have like a conscious of like some, be aware of certain things that were getting done, because otherwise, like, you know, in our playtest we saw that some people kind of did the same thing again and they were expecting a different result, and we said, wait a minute, that we need to give them clues that, okay, you've done it, you need to try something different, like, you know, go experience something else. So actually that's why the like little awareness was given to the narrator, so he can actually tell you, say, hey, come on, like, try something.
Yeah, and the narration on this, again, even just the little things, when you're playing in a, I've destroyed so many pots, and the narrator will make reference to the fact that I've destroyed so many pots and what I get out of them, just something to fit it into the narrative of the game itself. And it's just wonderfully said. Again, I told you, I would just sit here and praise you guys the entire show, given the opportunity. I really, honestly, I just did not expect the massive amount of game that you guys have provided with this. I mean, seriously, it was a small little booth at PAX South, and I just thought this would be one of those, okay, you know, it's choose your own adventure, but eventually you'll find the right way to go. And I mean, you will, but 24 endings?
24 endings, plus the one last ending.
Seriously, when I came upon that board at the end of my first playthrough, and it's like, okay, you found one, and I started cycling through, and it's like, here's this possibility, and I said, oh my god, they put in 24 endings to this thing. This is amazing.
We had to try, you know. We actually
how many? I was going to ask you. You probably didn't just settle with 20. Did you have to build up to 24? Did you have to cut down to get to 24?
We had to cut down. Originally, we were actually going even more. I think it was, at one point, it was 64. Then we said,
oh, my God.
Yeah, then we said we are stupid. And then we said, okay, 32. And then even then we said, like, because every time Phil had to do the branching, because our original demo kind of suggested that it'll be that far. And even 32 was becoming a little insane. So we said, okay, cut down a bit more. And hence, we ended up with 24.
Man. Do you ever, now this is a good question, any chance of releasing some of those other paths as DLC, oh, perhaps?
I don't know, because that was quite early in the game. We hadn't even built them. We were just building the story structure yet.
Oh, okay.
So we hadn't built the content yet. So yeah, at that point we realized, I think this was PAX East when we realized that, okay, 64 is a little bit of an insane ending style. So that was way, way early. So right now, actually, because we are listening to our community, because the community, like, you know, reported some issues. So we are actually listening to them right now, and we're actually releasing patches just to make sure that, like, you know, we can address all the issues that are out there. And after that, once the patches are done, once everybody's been like, you know, issues people reported are fixed, that's when we'll actually start deciding about what kind of DLC we want to make.
Oh, so you guys are looking into doing some DLC.
Yeah, we are thinking about it. Like, it's not 100% in stone yet, so it's a conversation that we are having between ourselves. But of course, the priority is that we kind of take care of, like, you know, anybody who's reporting an issue. We take care of them first, and then based on our time and budget, of course, we kind of go into doing a DLC. We're actually a small studio, so budgets actually make a big difference for us. Even this game, actually, we actually built it, since last February? It took us 11 months to build the game, and we put our heart and soul into it. It might seem like, hey, small budget game, like, you know, but we really tried to push for it. But we kind of, being small studio, you kind of have to live in your budgets, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, I'm trying to predict the future. I may be repeating something I've already said earlier in the show, but I don't know that. But I was playing Quantum Break, and that's a game that also says, hey, you make choices and they affect the playing of the game and that sort of thing. And I thought they were doing it pretty good. And then I played your game, and I thought, no, there is an example of how to do choices in game and storytelling right. And you guys are doing exactly that. Better than I've seen it in Telltale's series of games, better than I've seen it in Quantum Break or any other game that says, hey, your choices matter. No, they really don't. Not when compared to Story's Path of Destinies. It's seriously, you guys nailed it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's a lot of team effort here and just an experiment in narrative, really. Our next game that we are like, you know, we're going to start soon is actually something, you know, build and because we learned a lot from this one, to be honest with you. And so we're going to build on this and see where we can take this. How far can we take the whole storytelling narrative based, you know, choices?
Well, I am very, very curious to see which path you're... Oh, boy, I was about to do that. I shouldn't do that. I'm very curious to see what path you guys go down and find out where you're gonna end up with your next game. Because if this is this your first... Is this the first outing for you guys? Or I mean, I know the team has worked on other games, but...
Yes. So we worked like in end of 2013, like, you know, with the launch of PS4, we released Tiny Brains. It was a puzzle game with four, you play like one of the four rodents and you kind of try to get away from the evil scientist. So that was, and it's a co-op game. So we made that. After that, we did another experiment in esports style game where we actually have 3v3 online competitive game, which think of it like let's see, League of Legends kind of meets ice hockey and they had like a child, you would get Ace. That's what that game is about. It's a free-to-play game on Steam, and it's in early access right now. We'll soon be putting it into, like, you know, as a full release game. And after that is when we started actually another game, which was just an experiment we were doing for a very short time, but that was just a development experiment. And then we started actually working on stories. So yeah, so this is kind of like our third released title.
Now, did you guys get any help from Sony? And it's on Sony, it's on PS or it's on PC. I'm sorry, it's on PS4 and it's on PC, but it's not on it's not on Xbox One. Is there any chance of it showing up there?
Yes, we are planning that perhaps in August, somewhere in the window of August, we'll be actually bringing the game to the Xbox One. Yeah, because right now actually Sony's like really have been really kind to us. They've been awesome. They actually put us in the launch party as well as, like, you know, they really love the game. They gave us a lot of equipment on loan, actually, without charge, which was really awesome of them because we wouldn't have made this game without that. Like, you know, their general support, like, very responsive to everything that we asked for. So they helped us a lot, and hence we were able to bring it to the PS4 and PC, of course, like, you know, because you build the game on PC. But our contract, like, you know, commitments are that, like, you know, we will actually take the game to Xbox One, and we will actually bring it somewhere around August, well, plus minus 2 months here and there. So, but we will bring it.
Well, that's great to hear, and I you know, whatever it is you guys are working on next, if it builds upon this or takes, yeah, I kind of like your ideas of experimentation in and then fill in the blank, you know, experimentation in co-op, experimentation in narrative, experimentation in you know, whatever kind of thing you want to put it in there. I think I really love that idea of just continuing to build on that and trying new things. God, we need more of that, obviously. In gaming.
Yeah, no, we've been doing a lot of experimentation, actually. Sometimes even, like, you know, the team actually takes Fridays off and, like, you know, we just do experiments on things. We used to have an initiative called Freaky Fridays where you would actually just experiment on something. We are kind of like debating right now how to bring it back because we are finaling for so, like, working really hard on the stories. So we have to kind of like put it on pause, but there's a demand for it to come back. So hence the DNA in us, like, you know, to bring back experimentation is alive. So let's see where we go from here.
Well, Atul, it's been great talking with you. Let me tell you, it's been great playing your game. Please pass along my praise to the entire team and what they've done for this game. It is fantastic. It is wonderful. And I encourage everybody listening, if you are a fan of storytelling and gaming, if you are a fan of, or you really want to experience choices in gaming that actually make a difference, this is the game for you. And definitely do not let it pass you by. So thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. I know you've got to get ready to head out to PAX East.
Yep. Totally.
I guess you'll be showing off the game at PAX East, right? At a booth.
Yes,
there?
We are. Yeah, totally. We are there. We are booth 5201. So if your viewers are listening and they are at PAX, come by, see us, check the game out.
Yeah, definitely do that. Enjoy it and get a taste of this thing and just like I said, don't overlook it. Don't overlook it. I played for 10 minutes of this thing and I didn't really expect what I got, and what I got was, like I said, it is your, you will get your money's worth out of this game as far as replayability. So Atul, thank you again for being on the show. We really appreciate it, and just the best of luck to you and the team for what you guys are going to be doing in the future.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate this. Thank you.
All right, guys. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. You're right. Okay.
There we go.
Thanks, Nate. Sorry. Yeah. Got to turn the video on. Otherwise, it's just...
One day we'll get it right.
We will, you know. I mean, it's only been...
10 years?
10 years of doing it. 10 years of doing a
One
show.
Day.
Three
One
years
day.
Of doing it the way we've been doing it. So
eventually,
we'll get the hang of it.
Eventually it'll happen.
We're still rookies. Anyway, welcome back to the show, In-Game Chat. I'm Scott. We've got RJ, we've got Matt, and we've got Nate here. And we've got Amber on the phone from GT South calling in. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
All right. Well, tell us about GT South. What was going on? Let's see. You had a Hearthstone tournament last night, right?
Yeah, we did a Hearthstone tournament. Had about 12 or 14 or so people show up for it, and they won some Blizzard swag. It was fun.
And what's going on tonight?
Tonight, we have the lip sync challenge, where anybody can come in, pick a song, and whoever lip syncs best wins. I believe it's either audience voting or what have you. The biggest part of it, of course, is the owner, Mike, who will be doing his rendition of a song that gets voted on by the patrons of GT South. And I'm not quite sure which song is winning right now, but it should be pretty funny.
Hopefully it's Raining Men.
I don't know if that was up on the list.
Because that would be funny.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that was on the list. What is, and you guys are doing something special tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we have a Game of Thrones premiere tomorrow. We'll open around 6:30 or 7, let everybody come in, and we'll have some appetizers going in the kitchen. We won't have the full grill, but we will be serving food, and our bar will be open. So I think the showing, or Game of Thrones, starts around 8.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have that, and then after the episode's over, we will do Game of Thrones bingo for some prizes.
Fantastic. And then what is going on? Okay, Thursday you'll have another tournament. Ask you about this tournament. We already talked about this past week's tournament. I think RJ showed up and he was telling us a little bit about it. And so you'll have a tournament this week on Thursday. And then what's going on Friday?
Friday we have our Munchkin night, which is a tabletop game. We try to do some LARPing whenever we do the Munchkin night. We'll have it set up on the table. So if you've ever played it, you know, you can come in. If you haven't ever played it, there'll be people there that can show you how to play it.
Very easy
I've
to learn,
I've always
by the way.
Wanted to. It's been one that...
You've never played it?
I've never played it, but I know of it. I've seen it around a lot of places. It's just I've never had anyone to play it with.
Yeah, when I go to these PAX things, they have tabletop rooms, and I'll just sit down and watch some other people play and learn from there, because they're very friendly and they'll be like, hey, you want to get in on this? We can teach you how to do it. And mm-hmm. Munchkin was one of those, along with a couple of others that I learned. And they're very easy to pick up, extremely easy to pick up. So, and then what's going on next Saturday?
Saturday, we have our International Tabletop Night. So this weekend will be all about tabletop. We have a rack full of tabletop games that you can come in and play at any time that you want, but we try to celebrate International Tabletop Day around the time that it happens.
Okay. And people can bring in their own tabletop games, I would
assume?
Yeah.
Totally.
All right. Well, what are your hours of operation?
From Tuesday and Wednesday, we're open 7 to 12. And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it's 9 to 2.
All right. And you also are open...
5 to 2, sorry.
Yeah, and you're also open... Yeah, no, 9 to 2. You're also open for lunch Tuesday through when?
Tuesday through Friday. We're open from lunch from 11:30 to 2:30.
All right. And where you're located?
4017 Eastern Boulevard across from Ford dealership.
All right, guys. That's GT South in Montgomery. If you guys are local, please go by and support local as well. It's a lot of fun. It's a ton of fun. They have karaoke there pretty much every night.
A great place to hang out.
It is. You haven't been yet, have you?
Yeah, I've been.
He's been there.
Oh, when did you go?
Several times.
When? We've talked about this. I swear you said you had you've never gone before.
I've been several times.
When?
As
I ask again. Not recent, right?
Well,
you were there during the tournament night, I believe.
Yeah.
On a Thursday. One of the tournament nights.
Really?
There.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Anyway, Nate, you're going to try and make it out there tonight? Okay.
If not, for sure tomorrow. I'd like to do the Game of Thrones.
You want to do the Game of Thrones thing?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Amber. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, now time to jump over because we're running real quick on time. We're going to jump to our loot crates real quick. I know, Mumnut, you're on the line. Hang on. If we got time after this, we will go to you, but we got to open these loot crates up.
Anime?
Let's start with the anime.
Yeah. Let's go alphabetically. A starts first.
So this is the loot crate anime box. It's quite big.
Yes. Bigger than the other one.
It is bigger than the other one.
As he moves away from the mic.
To pick these things up here. So there you go. Loot crate, loot anime. You can tell lots much bigger.
Yes.
So
unless you're listening on the radio.
Unless you're listening on the radio. This is such a visual thing, folks. If you are listening on the radio, it almost practically makes no sense. RJ, I'm gonna be passing a lot of these over to you to tell me what they are.
Okay. I'll do my best, see what I can do.
So we have T-shirt.
All right. Black shirt with, is it gray shirt?
It's Ultraman.
Oh, okay.
So I know exactly. Okay,
we know
so
who
I'm
Ultraman is.
Okay, we got that one.
I'm good there on that one.
This is nice the, little,
is the shirt.
Japanese looking, rays of sun with Ultraman. That looks nice.
There you go. There, throw it over there. The next, maybe this won't be as hard as I thought.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Super Fight Anime Deck.
That, I have a clue what that is.
Okay, I wonder, kind of curious who's in there.
From Mewtwo to Hello Kitty, the Anime Deck 2 adds 100 new anime-inspired characters and powers to Super Fight. The game of absurd arguments, this deck can be played on its own or mixed with any other Super Fight deck, so grab your friends, it's time to duel. All right, so we got that. I don't know what this is, but it has...
Oh, Ace Attorney.
Ace Attorney.
Oh,
yeah, Phoenix Wright.
Well, I mean, I know what that is. I don't know what it is.
I'm playing the Ace Attorney series right now.
I don't know what's in here.
It's like pins or a wallet or something.
Watch.
Let's see. Probably a belt buckle for Matt.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It's a wallet.
Oh, a wallet.
Is it a wallet?
Objection.
It is not a wallet. It's a briefcase.
A mini briefcase.
It's a little tiny briefcase.
So cute. Anything in it?
I don't know.
Maybe it's for your cards, like business cards. Oh, it springs open.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it's business cards.
Oh, okay.
It's a business card holder.
It's a business card holder.
No.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
That'd be great for American Psycho.
Yeah.
Yes.
Patrick.
And the things actually close and the handle actually works.
That's
so it's
funny.
A little bitty. That's cute. That's neat. Good job.
Do you have a business card?
But I do have business cards. What else we got in here? Socks? Are these socks? These are socks from Yu-Gi-Oh.
Socks. Yeah.
Checking out.
So.
I used to love Yu-Gi-Oh.
Never watched it.
It's a good
show. No of it, but never watched it.
So far, RJ, this is actually okay. I haven't run into any kind of problem. Well, here we go. I don't know what this is.
Oh, boy. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, yep. Okay.
That Yeah. It's actually a really nice hat.
Yeah, it is.
All right, and then...
This is a pretty well-made briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some nice weight to it.
We have a like a keychain thing. I don't know how well that shows up on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be it. There's a... and there's a poster. Let's see. What are we doing on time? We're doing okay on time.
7 minutes.
Yeah.
6 minutes.
And then there's a poster. And I can't...
Oh, then it describes everything on the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the back just tells you everything that came in.
Okay, cool.
The actual box.
Yeah.
So, there we go. Lots to pick up and lots to get doing. So, that is your Loot Anime Crate for this month.
Hand me the box and I'll repack.
I will certainly do that, sir. There you go. Obviously, there's a bunch of stuff right here you can grab. So, here is this week's Loot Crate, or this month's Loot Crate, actually. We're going to open this one up. And this is... Oh, it's Labyrinth-inspired.
Oh, ooh. Nice.
Yeah, you can see the... got a nice little maze there. But, as I can see right here, we have a David Bowie t-shirt.
Ooh. All right, you got my attention.
Oh, okay. I see how it works.
Oh, okay. It's purple.
Covering up his face.
Yep.
There you go.
There we go.
That's not David Bowie.
It's the Goblin King. That's actually a really nice shirt. I kind of like that. What else we got in here? Let's go with socks.
More socks.
Harry Potter socks.
You're a wizard, Harry.
There we go.
So maybe it's British things? I don't know.
Well, isn't there a labyrinth in Harry Potter or something? I don't know.
I think so.
And one of the titles, The Labyrinth of Something, or I don't know.
Here is a tube, but it has, I believe,
poster.
So if there's labyrinth stuff, maybe there's something from Overlook. I mean, the Overwatch Hotel from The Shining.
Ooh. That'd be nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, Nathan Drake.
Oh. I don't know what that has to do with the labyrinth, but sure.
I don't know either.
Nathan Drake, of course.
Put this back in the tube. There we go. I know, this is great radio, right?
It'd be cool if they had a bottle.
Well, there's other things in here we haven't finished.
5 minutes.
Here's a pen. And you see that? 20-sided die ice mold.
Oh, it's a 20-sided dice shield pen.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's actually pretty cool.
From
what I understand, these things never come out the way that they're supposed to.
Ice cube mold.
You can, like, you know, roll what kind of drink you want to have.
Yeah.
Roll against drunk.
I went down to see one of those. Was for the Death Star, I think.
Yeah.
Death Star ice cube mold, yeah.
I have the Han Solo and Carbonite ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this.
Ah, yes.
I don't know what this is.
Me either.
Describe it for our listeners.
It is a brown sack of some kind. It's got a... Yeah.
A well, brown sack.
You said... Oh, it's a...
Oh, it's a horn. Oh. Like a flute of...
Yeah, and like it's got a strap so you can wear it around your neck.
Like a war horn.
So you can, like, drink some mead from it.
Yeah, so you can do your drinking. There you go.
You going to drink from that tonight, Scott?
I really don't know what all these have to do with each other.
Maybe. I don't know.
You can get a bunch of liquor in there.
That's like small. Six shots.
Hey, man. Fill that with tequila.
And if you could repack that, there is your loot crate for this month as well. We've got to go. Mumnut, I'm so sorry I can't get to you right now because we really need to leave. But by the way, if you're, Mumnut does the Uber thing.
Oh, this one's Quest.
Oh, it's Quest. Okay.
Adventure awaits. Okay.
Obviously, I was going for Labyrinth inspired, but yes, yeah. Quest works just as well. So,
if not better.
Anyway, let's close out the show before we get kicked out of the show. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream or on the radios as well. We do appreciate it. Thanks for everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show. We really appreciate that. Go to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch. Subscribe to that one. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group there you can join up with and play games with us and other listeners as well, plus a PS4 community also. Everybody, you guys have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. And speaking of Uncharted, I'm going to leave you with music from Uncharted 3. We'll see you next week.